And so anyhow, praise God. Welcome to Sunday morning. Man, what a great day we have in the Lord. And, you know, we're just a week before the Passion Week. We're just a couple days coming out in front of us. And as I was thinking and meditating on this stuff, the Lord really laid on my heart to look into the teachings that Jesus had at least a week before he entered into his passion, before he comes in into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and Passover begins, right? Those things that people tell you just before they go into great suffering, just before they go into knowing they're facing their death. He's already been on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? He's already heard. He already knows the fullness of the thing that's going to happen. Not that he didn't know it before, but I think on that, I don't know what the conversation was on the Mount of Transfiguration, but I'm sure that when Moses and Elijah were speaking to him, it was something very needful for him to know. And so he was there, and this is after that. And so the things that Jesus would speak of before he enters his passion would probably, well, to me it means that these are the most heartfelt, pointed things that Jesus could speak to his disciples before he entered in to that week of teaching, because there's a week of teaching while he's in Jerusalem during the Passover week. But before that, and we'll be, it's really hard to break down everything he taught because you got four Gospels. That means you have a plethora, as my brother Tom would say, a plethora of teachings that we could glean from. I'm going to try to stay in the book of Matthew, all right? And so just real quick, before these things started to come, before Matthew chapter 24, there's Matthew chapter 23, starting in verse 37 of Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking here in verse 37. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye say, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." And then when he goes out of the temple, his disciples ask him about when will these things be? When will they take place? Not going to get into that, but what? Look at what Jesus said there in 23. He said, "Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stonest those which are sent unto thee, how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." How bad do you think God wants to gather you under his wing? How much do you think he really wants the people of God? Because he's talking to the Israelites here, and they were the ones who held the oracles of God. They were favored among all the peoples of the world to be the keeper of God's word. Even though they murdered the prophets, even though they stoned those that were sent to him, God said, "Your children, yeah, your ancestors did this, but I want your children to come unto me, and that I would shelter you, that I would protect you." And then he says something that strikes me to the heart, to the quick, even today in these days that I live. He says, "But ye would not." Church, are we resisting the power of God in this, our generation? Are we resisting his desire to come and shelter us? Are we believing things that are not really written in the Word of God for a convenience for the humans, for the convenience of people, for the convenience of what I want to think is right? Yeah, and so I'm going to resist what God says because it doesn't fit with what I want. Amen? That, I think that is a huge problem, not just in the Church of America, but in the whole body of Christ around the world. We are, and folks, we need to understand, please gather this with me. I really think that we are approaching like a rock falling downhill into the last day. I really do think that. I don't know when it's going to happen, but when I'm looking not at just America, but I'm looking at the whole world scheme. Now, catching your mind, when Jesus was coming for his week of passion, right, before his crucifixion, he was laying out the things that were going to actually turn the world right side up again. He was coming to set a new covenant made with his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats anymore, but the perfect Lamb of God was going to a cross to die for the sin of the world. And he's teaching his disciples, he's saying, listen, folks, I want you to know that there's a reality that is right at hand that's going to happen, that's going to shake you to your very core. Things are going to change. They're going to change rapidly. And as I was thinking of this, and if you just flip over, I'm not going to talk about the last days and the signs of the ends of the age, which are in Matthew 24, the first few verses. But if we will pick up in Matthew 24 and starting in 29, and I'm going to hit some of these things briefly, and then we're going to settle on one. The way I see it, there are 10 things that Jesus teaches here in Matthew 24, verse 29 through Matthew 25. And he starts out with, after the tribulation, then there's a fig tree, then there's the days of Noah, verse 40 and 41, there'll be the dividing, one taken and one left, all right? And you know not the hour, verse 42 through 44. The seventh thing is, who is a faithful servant? Folks, listen, who is a faithful servant among you? We're gonna gently brush all of these until we get to the tenth one. We will go back before him. Who is a faithful servant, part 7. In chapter 25, he talks about the 10 virgins. There will be 5 that are prepared, 5 that are unprepared. And then in the ninth thing, in verse chapter 25, verse 14 and 30, what God has entrusted to his servants, and there's a thing there. And then 10 that I came up with, or that the Lord showed me, is the entrance into the kingdom. Who here wants to get to the kingdom? Amen. He has 10 teachings here that he lays out very specifically to the kingdom of God, who is going to make it, who isn't going to make it. There are some that are invited to the supper that won't make it to the supper. There are some that expect to go, but they're not going to make it. Let me ask you this. Are you prepared if it were to happen today? Would you be accepted or rejected inside of the kingdom of God? That's a question that you're going to have to mull over in your life, in your heart, as we go through these next, as we brush over, because I'm going to have to give a light brushing to keep this within like 7 hours of teaching, right? Because I really want to talk on Palm Sunday. I want to talk about Palm Sunday. But to get to Palm Sunday, we got to understand what Jesus was teaching his disciples before that time happened. Because what he's teaching to his disciples is that there are some here that think they're going to make it, there aren't going to make it. Let me let you know, Judas didn't make it. Amen? All right? So even when he's just talking to the 12, there's one of those in that 12 that didn't make it. Now he was, and we looked at it earlier today in Sunday school about the when Jesus talked about, you got to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, and some were offended by that. And they moved away. They walked away from that teaching because it was too hard for them. I don't want this to be too hard for you. But I do want you to be alert to the times that we're living in, to the reality. If thou would have known the day of your visitation, right? If you would have known the day of your visitation, there's a visitation coming. And it's coming like a freight train. Can you hear the whistle blow? Not the trumpet. Can you hear the whistle of the train coming down the tracks saying, listen, I'm coming. I'm coming. It's happening. There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's going to be the glory of God. Are you prepared to receive what God has for the church? If not, you need to start making adjustments today in your life. Because when that day comes, just like in the days of Noah, when God shut the door, it was over. Just like in the days of Sodom and the days of Gomorrah, when God came and he cast judgment, the hailstones, the fiery brimstone came, and that day their seal, the judgment was sealed, and there was no getting out of it. Church, there's coming a day of certain judgment, and there will be no escape except through Jesus Christ. Are you prepared for that. As we get into these teachings, this is what God laid on my heart. The teachings before his passion, because I think, I'm pretty sure that was Jesus' passion for the church to be ready for the new covenant that was coming in his blood. Amen? So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we start this thing. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, and I pray that we would be of those people who would have a tender heart, Father, that would have ears prepared to hear, that would have a willingness of the Spirit to walk in the holiness of God. Lord, that you would put in us a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, Father, that you would lead us, don't take us out of the evil, but protect us from the evil that's coming through the truth that is withheld inside of the written word of God. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I ask that you would allow me to decrease, Lord Jesus, as we go through this teaching, that your word, that your love, that your grace would increase and multiply exponentially to the body of Christ, that on that day we would be prepared. Lord, we thank you and we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 29 starts out this way, chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately when? After the tribulation of those days. All right, now there were tribulation before those days, right? And then he says there's a tribulation of those days. Church, this is where we need to be prepared, that there's going to be a tribulation of the saints of God in the last days that we have not really got our mind wrapped around. That there will be a time, and Tom and I talked about it, we have a little disagreement on it, about the 3.5 years. I believe that at the beginning of the 3.5 years, there will be a rising persecution of the body of Christ that has not been since probably Nebuchadnezzar came against Jerusalem way back in the day. And it's going to be worse than that. In fact, he says, unless those days be shortened, there will be no flesh left on the earth, right? We understand that? Do we understand that there's the little horn, the Antichrist is coming, and he's going to make war with the saints, and he's going to be victorious over the saints in their flesh. But through our flesh being dying, we will be more victorious than he who's going to come against us. We have a promise of eternity, of a kingdom, and even if they destroy my flesh, what more can they do to me, right? Amen. So we need to have, one thing, be aware of the time. The other thing is have great joy in the time of suffering. Unless I suffer with him, I will not be glorified with him. So immediately after those tribulation, after the days, the tribulation of those days, amen? So 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All right, so after the tribulation of those days, what happens? The sun is darkened, all right? And the moon shall not give her light, all right? All right, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Immediately after the tribulation, those things are going to happen. When we see this event that happens in time in Isaiah 13 and Ezekiel 32 and in Joel chapter 2 and the Revelation, when you see the sun and the moon being darkened and all that, what is that day? Say it out loud. The Lord's coming. Amen. He's coming. He's coming. And it says, after the tribulation of those days, the Lord's coming. So there's coming the rising of the little horn, right? And the showing up on one of the 10 horns that are on the beast that is seen, right? And so this little horn's going to come up out of the 10 horns, and he's going to make war with the saints. There will be tribulation that has not been understood ever since the beginning of the foundation of the world, and you need to be prepared. This he was teaching to his disciples before his passion. All right. Now, he wasn't just talking about Rome coming in and surrounding the city that happened in 70 AD. That was a picture of it. But I'm telling you, there's going to come something that is more earth-shattering than that ever was. You know what it is? Christ. When Jesus, my reward, comes, when he comes with his angels in the cloud of glory, when he comes, guess what? We, the church, will be delivered. Are you excited about that? Are you willing to suffer from now until then? All right? Because when the time, when these cogs in the wheel, and you know I've talked about prophecy like this a lot, it's like one of those old-timey clocks that have cogs, you know, and one goes so many times, then the next one goes 60 seconds, a minute, 60 minutes, an hour, right? And it only goes at that time. When these things start ticking, I think we're ticking on it. We're seeing the second hand come around. We're seeing the hour hand come around. And pretty soon it's going to strike. And when it strikes, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared to love. We need to be prepared to stand. We need to be prepared to pray. We need to know what fasting is all about. We need to know how to love one another that the world can see that we're Christian by our love. It's not a time to faint or a time to worry. It's a time to be excited. I'm excited about the time. You know, there are some things that are going to show up that it's going to be tribulation that I've never understood, but it will happen. Amen. And he will send the angels, verse 31, he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and he shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the ends of heaven. All right? From the ends of heaven, from one to the other. From one, excuse me, I need to read that and not go off of my mind. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with the sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Then he says, learn the parable of the fig tree. I was always taught the fig tree was Israel. Amen? Is that what you were taught? I don't think that's what he's saying here. I don't think he's talking about Israel blooming. All right, because if you go there, you can say, well, Israel became a nation in May, whatever, 1948, right? That's when it happened. You can count that as the growing. I don't think what he's talking, he says, when you see these things happening, learn the parable of the fig tree. When this branch is yet tender, it putteth forth leaves, and you know that the summer is nigh. When you see these works of the tribulation that he talks in verse chapter 24, verses 1 through 29, when you see these things coming, when you watch this, know that the time's near. That's all he's saying. Know that the time's near. And he reflects that in nature. You know how I know spring is coming, although it's still cold and it's sunshiny? I go out to my apple tree and guess what I see growing? Buds. And all through winter, I could have went out to that tree and I could have snapped that branch so easy, right? It was just easy to break because there wasn't any sap in it. Right now, when I go out to that, it'll bend. How do I know that spring's on the way? My apple tree branches bend. How do I know that this time of the end times is coming? Because all of the things are setting right. The sun's shining, but it's still cold outside. But I see that the church, the people, are very tender. Right now, if you talk to the truly born-again believers in Christ Jesus, they are seeing some things coming to life that have never been coming to life before. Right? Amen? You see? And even when you talk to those who don't know the Lord, they're still looking, they're seeing these things. Something's stirring on the inside. There's the fresh sap of spring, of new life coming up. And you see this moving, the fig tree is coming to life, all right? Every time that I've seen God, not every time, but a vast majority of the times, when I see God talking about Israel, he talks about the vine, right? Talks about the grapevine. When he talks about other things, he talks about the fig, the rest of the world. So that's just my interpretation, right? If you don't agree with it, I can be wrong. Right? I don't think I am, because if I thought I was, I wouldn't have said it. Yeah.
Verse 33 puts a stamp on it.
Amen. There you go. So likewise, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Amen. There you go. When you see these things happen, know that it is at the door. It's right on the out. It's right here. Do you see these things happening? Chapter 24, verses 1 through 29. You see these things happening. And there's more to see because it hasn't all happened yet, but there's more to see. We need to just be ready. That's all I'm telling you. All right, and then he goes on in verse 36, and he says, but that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, Noah, N-O-E, that's Elma. Noah were. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Me and my wife were talking about this last night and early this morning. The majority of people don't even see the problem coming. Right. Talk to my sons, they don't see it, right? They're eating and drinking. I need to be, have my best life today, right? And that's what you look at the world. That's all they're interested in. Feed me, make me fatter. Don't worry about all that end time stuff. It's as it was the whole time. Nothing ever changes, which, again, is a sign of the end times when they say, well, nothing, it's as it was from the beginning, so it is today, right?
Scoffers.
Pardon? Scoffers. Scoffers will appear in the last days. Amen. So, as Jesus said, when it will be as it was in the days of Noah, look at what they were doing. They were eating and drinking. Life was going on normal. You know, me and my wife, our greatest conversation up until this week has been, what are we going to have for supper? Amen? Is that the mainstay of your... You're your sister, yes! And so, what are we going to have for supper? You know, what's for the next meal? You just worry about eating and drinking, right? How about just living life? You're marrying, giving in marriage. In other words, you're just... How did I put this to my wife last night? Wasn't it nice, and this is what I said to my wife, wasn't it nice when all we had to do is go through the motions, right? When all you did is you wake up, you went to work, you didn't really, it was better when I was ignorant about these things, right? Because all I did is, I just woke up, I stretched, I smelled the flowers along the way, and I wasn't worried, I didn't even consider any of these things. That there is an impending judgment. That there is one going to come up and actually come against those who are called Christian. That there's a kingdom coming that's not made with hands. I never worried about that. You know what I worried about? What's going to happen next? As a floor installer, I was worried about my next job. You know? What do I do next? How do I feed? We're going to marry and give in marriage and everything. Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you may die. Right? And that's all that we thought about. How many people of the church today are still there? Unfortunately, short of a small group, and praise God for Gayla, she brought this up. Elijah, when he was in the cave, right? And he was saying, woe is me, I'm the only one. And the Lord spoke to him and said, listen, there's still 400 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Right? Something like that. There were a bunch. You know, I just was talking about something that was said earlier. I didn't go back and study it for myself. I said, man, that'll slip in nicely here, right? We may think we're the only ones, but we're not. There is a whole group of people that don't live in Scottsville, that don't live in Caledonia. There's a whole group of people around the world that are being woken up, shaken to their very core, because they're seeing... They're believing not what CNN says, but they're believing what the Word of God says. There's a lot of people becoming illuminated because the Spirit of God is calling and separating His people, calling them out of the darkness, out of this world system. Who here does not trust the government? Amen? I'll raise both my hands. All right. I was brought up red, white, and blue. Trust the government no matter what they do. Right? Were y'all there? Right? I was there. If the government said it was safe, fluoride in your water. People, that's poison. Actually, it's a waste product from aluminum. That's what fluoride is. And I learned this week when I was doing just a little bit of rough studying. You know how they made fluoride no longer a poison that was hazardous to health? They found somebody to buy it. And then it became a product, not a byproduct. And as long as you can sell it, it's no longer poison. Wow. What are they going to do with nuclear waste? Find somebody to buy it, and then they can sell it to everybody. Right? Isn't that See, I used to trust the government. It didn't matter what they said. I believed them. All the way up until Billy Carter. So I haven't trusted them for a while.
Can I just add?
Yeah, go ahead, sweetheart.
When they're putting the fluoride in the water, they have to wear special suits because it's so corrosive.
Yeah. It is poison. And fluoride in your toothpaste and all that kind of stuff. It's better to brush your teeth with soap. That's what my mom did to me every time I'd say something that she didn't like. And personally, I like lava the best because it's a little gritty, you know. Gets down in the real good stuff. Anyhow, again. So he says, look, it will be in that time. They'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The cool thing about that, I look back in Genesis, and God said to Noah 7 days before it came. He said, 7 days before it came, listen, Noah, start putting the animals in the ark. I'll bring them to you. I'll bring them to you the way that they need to be. Put them in the ark because in 7 days it's about ready to rain. I feel, all right, now I hate to say feelings because I've been fooled by my feelings, but when I examine Scripture to the times that we're living in, I think we're about 7 days out. No, not 7 literal days. I think we're a lot closer than what we may believe we are. All right? And praise God. I would hope, again, if my people who are called by my name would humble and pray. Humble themselves and pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then he'll heal the land. Don't get me wrong with this. Because I truly believe if the people of God, the born-again Christian, would truly humble themselves and pray, that God would stay his hand. As he did in the days of Nineveh. All right. Now that judgment didn't come, but it did not come to that generation because they repented in sackcloth, right? And I really believe if the Church of Jesus Christ, those who proclaim to be Christian, would really get away from the teachings of man and come back to the Bible and really turn from our wickedness, disconnect from the evil that is in this world, and pray, seek God, ask his forgiveness, that he could stay the hand, and maybe for another 1,000 years. I don't know. I won't put a time on it, but he would stay his hand, and that the impending dread that I'm experiencing in my soul would be put off for a while. Because that's really what it is. It's a dreadful day. The day of the Lord is a dreadful day. It's a day of darkness. It's a day of weeping. It's a day of mourning. It's not, woohoo, yay, I've made it. It is seeing all of your loved ones who don't know the Lord being crushed and crumbled right before the face of God. And we look in it in Zechariah 14, right? And you talk about their bodies melt and their eyes, sockets melt, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that for my sons. They don't know the Lord. They don't know God, right? I don't want to see that. I don't want to see my grandchildren going through that. I want us to pray. I want us to be ready. I want us to know that we are in that seven, that little bit of time that God has allowed the church to repent and come out of it. I really believe that it is time for the church to really get real and understand that God is coming, and he's coming with vengeance and with power. And if we do not turn from the wickedness that's inside the Church of Jesus Christ, the world is going to burn. It's going to burn eventually. I don't want to see it in my generation. I don't want to be like Noah and in that time. I don't want to be there. And you know why? I can't imagine what they heard. When the waters are coming up and people, babies are screaming and crying as the judgment, the wrath of God is being poured out on the earth. I'm glad I'm in the ark, but my heart breaks for those who are going to be on the outside. I got loved ones. I got family. I got friends that I try to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if they'll ever come, but I'm going to continually give them the hope. Josh, I want to give you and your children. You ain't got grandchildren yet. There's coming a day you'll have grandbabies. I want them to know the fullness and the might and the power and the grace and the love of God on this earth. But unless the church gets right, we ain't going to see it. Unless the church gets right, unless those who are born again and call themselves Christian, we ain't going to see it. He goes on, he talks about Verse 40 and 41, and then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. That's when there'll be two grinding, there'll be two in the field. Your best friend, the one who you played softball, t-ball with, the one that you play hockey with, your neighbor that you love, that you have compassion for, maybe even your own spouse. One will be left and one will be taken. That's a dreadful day. Verse 42 through 44, watch therefore. All right, watch therefore, and know not what hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house knew in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, think the Son of Man cometh. Are we there? In the hearts and the minds of those who call themselves Christian, are we even awake to the times that we're living in? On Wednesday night, I'm going through Jeremiah. We just finished chapter 23, where it's woe to the pastors, which brings me to Ezekiel 30 somewhere. Anyhow, still it's the same thing. That there's wickedness in the pastorate. There's wickedness in the pastorate. My wife shared this clip that was shared with her as this pastor of a church blaspheming God, saying that God supports transgenderism. In fact, that scripture that I read right to start with, how the Lord desires to gather you as a hen gathers his chick under his wings. He said that since Jesus Christ said that he could be a chicken, that means humans can be consider themselves to be an animal or a person of a different gender, and that makes it okay. He said that that is holiness and righteousness. And he has a large congregation. He has a large congregation that if they're believing that, they're going to hell. And he has no fear of God. Unfortunately, it's not just one pastor that does that. There's huge, we got one right down the road here. Right down the road. Has the rainbow flag out in front of his church. One in Henrietta. One in Scottsville. In fact, I would say there are a plethora of them. Again, let us not get puffed up and prideful in our hearts and minds thinking that we've arrived. Because, folks, I got problems. I got sin. And I will not stand up here and say that I've made it. One thing I do know, what we read from Paul, is that I'm going to persevere. I'm going to push to the high call of Christ. And I'm going to learn how to die to myself that I might live evermore with Him. Amen? I fear for those folks that are believing that garbage. I fear for our children that are being taught that garbage. I told this story a couple weeks ago about my granddaughter reading her book. Remember when y'all learned how to read Sea Spot Run? Right? Y'all remember that book?
Jane books.
Amen. I love those books because that's about my reading level today. But her reading book was about this elephant and a zebra. And the zebra wanted to be an elephant, and the elephant wanted to be the zebra. And so the zebra took its stripes and gave it to the elephant, and the elephant took its trunk and gave it to the zebra. And all of a sudden, the zebra thought it was an elephant, and the elephant thought it was a zebra. What is the perversion there? Do y'all see? And this is kindergarten.
Yeah.
Do you see how it easily seeks in that I can change who I am if I just change the exterior? If I dress like a woman, say I'm a woman, then I'm a woman. If I want to be a zebra, paint me in stripes, and all of a sudden, I'm a zebra. And I told my granddaughter, I said, no, the larger animal was still an elephant. And the zebra was still a zebra. Didn't matter if you put on a long nose, and it doesn't matter if you change your stripes. The zebra was still a zebra, the elephant was still an elephant. A male is still a male and a female is still a female, regardless of what you put on. Amen. See, they're coming after our children. This is why in my inner man, because it's not just happening in a small area. This is happening globally, yes. People. It's globally. Yes. And I'm seeing this perversion globally. Folks, when this happens, how far are we from that day? Before the 3.5 years, I believe before the 3.5 years starts, there's going to be a rise of wickedness, evilness, perversion of the truth. All these different translations of the Bible, what are they? They're perversions of the truth. That way, if I'm sitting here with my NIV and it doesn't read like the King James, I can say, did God really say?
Yep.
Isn't that the very same thing that the serpent told Eve? Did God really say? People, the church is in grave danger. The world's in grave danger too. But the church, judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. It's got to start here. It's more dangerous than what we know. If you would have known the hour that the thief was going to break in, wouldn't have you been ready? That's why God says nobody's going to know the time. You will see the season, but you don't know the day, you don't know the hour. I see the season, I don't know the day, I don't know the hour, right? I can't say that I do. I do see the seasons that are coming. What's that old song, the times they are changing? Well, they're not changing for the better from what I see. All right? From the perversion that's from the government to the pulpit to the households. When grandparents of my age and older folks like Bill's age, right? Old people are bringing their grandchildren to these houses of transgender celebration. Something ain't right. There's been some poison mushrooms put in the stew. Folks are going to die. And they're not going to just die a physical death. We are killing our nation spiritually because we do not love the truth. And God is sending a strong delusion. He's sending inside of the church. I'm not talking about the world because the world's going to do what the world's going to do. I'm worried about the church. I've been called, God called me when I started this work. It wasn't really to seek and save the lost. That was Jesus' job. My job that God, the specific call that God gave me was to strengthen those things that remain. Revelation 3, right? To the church of Sawdust. Sardis. Yeah, it will be. It's to strengthen those things that remain. There are some that have not tasted, that have not turned to the ways of Baal. Strengthen those. There are some that are not completely taken by the ways of the Antichrist. Strengthen those. And there's not many. That's why God didn't give me a big church building. Right? Because there ain't many. Praise God. My job is to strengthen you. I need to get you ready. And you need to get those folks around you ready. Because I can't touch them, but you can. I can't reach them, but you can. Joshua, you got a lot of friends. They need to know. Dave, you got a lot of weird folks you hang out. They need to know. They need to know. Steve, they need to know. And they don't need to know your thought of it. They need to know what the Scripture says about it. Amen? They need to know what the Bible says about it. And to be ready, because there's coming a day that you've got to get into the ark and God's going to shut the door. And when He shuts the door, that is it. That's it. There's no turning back. There's no coming back. And it will be a day of weeping. But praise God, I got the promise that God's going to wipe the tears out of my eye. And He will. Praise God for that. He will. He'll wipe the tears out of my eyes. Don't have a doubt. Don't have a problem with that. But that's not going to stop me from weeping for those who are perishing on the outside.
Right.
Those who call themselves Christian with their mouth, but their heart is far from Him. They dare not even attempt to live in holiness or righteousness. They dare not get themselves ready. Who's the wise servant? Verse 45 through 51. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. All right. Do you know that you're a servant of the Most High God? Amen. Are you giving the meat to the people in due season? Amen. Amanda, someone called you, you gave them meat in due season. Praise God, right? Someone met you, you gave them meat in due season. Lance is concerned about giving meat in due season. Do it. Do it. You have your ears and your eyes open. When God gives you a person to witness to, don't get afraid and talk about the new, what's a sporting team? Who's playing sports right now? The basketball thing, aren't they? They're in the who can dribble the best or whatever it is. Anyhow, there's a basketball thing that's going on right now.
Madness.
Pardon?
It's madness.
Madness. Thank you. It is madness, right? And it's March. That's what they call it. Thank you, my brother. It's March Madness. Do they really need to know who can slam dunk the best? Or do they really need to know about Jesus? Right? Because there's coming a slam dunk. Amen. He's going to break the backboard. And, all right? That's going to be Jesus when he comes. Anyhow, he's made ruler over his household to give meat in due season. Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Wow. Doing? That means I got a job to do? I need to be giving meat in due season? Because when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave to you? What did you do with that? What did you do with the knowledge of the end times? What did you do with the knowledge of the cross? What did you do with the power of the resurrection? What did you do with the truth that the Holy Spirit gave you? What did you do with that? Now, further on in chapter 25, like the talents, why hid mine under a rock? Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. You hide it under a rock, he throws you out. Anyhow, as he goes on saying here, that's later on in this. Verily I say unto you, verse 47, he shall make him ruler all over all his goods. Amen. Praise God, I ain't got to rule over people, I got to rule over goods. Amen. You know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be the guy who keeps the count of the mayonnaise in the jar, his goods, whatever the goods are. You know, whatever that is. But I want to be so doing. When the master comes, I want to be so doing. I want to be giving meat. I want to be feeding people in the righteousness and the holiness of God. Amen? But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall also begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkard, and the Lord shall of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him as under, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those are his servants that aren't doing what they're supposed to do. That's the church that is lulled into a false Christ, a false easy believership. Those folks, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not feeding, they're not ministering, they're not being obedient. When Jesus comes, he's not going to judge me on what Joshua did. Or he's not going to judge you on what I did. Well, geez, I listened to that Curtis, man. He didn't say nothing about that. I said, I don't care what Curtis said. I'll deal with him in Curtis's time. What did Peter talking to Jesus, right? And Jesus said, well, what if he does not taste death? Now, talking about John. I wish I could call the whole scripture to mind, but I can't right now. But you know the gist of it, right? Because y'all are Bible readers, right?
You follow me.
You follow me. Amen. So Peter was worried about what was going to happen to John. Jesus said, don't sweat it. You follow me. Amen. What's it to you if he doesn't taste death? Big deal. That's John's dealing, not your dealing. Don't follow me, follow the scripture. I just read in the Bible where it says you better be feeding meat. You better be serving meat to whoever comes to your table and asks. Not only spiritually, physically, but most definitely spiritually. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Why? That you'll be approved, no doubt. But you study that you might give every man an answer, 1 Peter. Right? That you can give every man an answer to the question that's within them. Feed them meat. Then, of course, he talks about the 10 virgins, not versions, That's the problem with America today. We got 10 versions and no virgins, right, in the Word. Nobody who's seeking the pure, holy Word of God anyhow. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because I think you know what the story is. I'll come to the last part. Verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye and meet him." All right? That's going to happen in a time and an hour that nobody knows, all right? It's going to happen. Everybody goes meeting. But then all those virgins arose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." What does the oil represent?
Holy Spirit.
There's a lot of people going to church every single Sunday that do not have the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of pastors preaching behind the pulpits that do not have the Holy Spirit. And when that day comes, they're going to want some of what you got. Praise God, you can't give it to them because you don't get it from me. You don't get what the Holy Spirit. I can't give you my Holy Spirit, but I can lead you to the one who does have the Holy Spirit. In fact, that's what the wise virgins said. The wise answered and said them, "Not so. At least there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." But he was already coming. The prince was already coming. The husband was already coming. He was coming. You ain't got time to go back and read all the Bible and get it right. You need to get it right today because you don't know when he's coming. You got to be a servant today because you don't know when he's coming. When he comes, it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, on the last day, you're not going to have a whole lot of time. Because when that day of judgment comes, when God shuts the door like he did in Noah's day, when God sends the brimstone and fire like he did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, there didn't have a week to plan it out. It happened in a moment at the midnight cry when nobody knew. But if you're ready, you'll have enough oil in your lamp to get there. If you're not, you can't go and glean my oil, and I can't glean from your oil. That's why I feel this great urgency today for the church of Jesus Christ to wake up out of their sleep, to get up out of their slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. We ain't got a lot of time. There's not a lot of here and there and waiting for it to happen, people. You got to get on the ball today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your life straight with God. Amen? I can't promise you tomorrow. I can't promise you your next breath. But I can promise you this, that there's a day coming where there will be no time left. There'll be a reckoning. And when God does the ciphering, that's a math term. You know what ciphering, the goes intos. When he gets all of his goes intos done, there'll be a reckoning, a total. And when the total is there, there's no changing it.
Verse 10.
Amen. I'm getting there. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went to meet him. Those who were what?
Ready.
Those that were ready. Get ready. Those that were ready went to meet him to the marriage. And the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgin, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." He starts talking about the talents. Not a song and dance or a hat routine or even money. This is whatever the master has entrusted you with. Whatever that is. For me, it's preaching. All right? Some folks is going handing out tracts. Amen? Some are apostles. That doesn't happen anymore. But some are pastors. Some are evangelists. Right? Whatever it is that God has given you, go and do that. Because you got these three servants here, and each are given to their own several abilities, right? Whatever God knew that they could do, he entrusted them to do it. And then he comes on a day that they don't know, and he demands an account of what they did. And there's a reward there for those who did it, and did it right. He gives to them more. And then there's for the one who says that he misrepresents God and who he is. That you're oh, let me get there because I got to get that right. Verse 26. And the Lord saith unto him, I got to go before there. 18. Okay, but when, verse 18, but he that had received one went and dug in the earth and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, the Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. Behold, I gained beside these 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Who wants to hear that? Amen. You better be investing. You better be investing. Thou hast been a faithful over a few things, and I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What is the reward here? Is it the many things or the joy of the Lord? Joy of the Lord. Amen. And he also received 2 talents, and Lord, thou deliverest unto him 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then when he that received 1 talent, he said unto him, unto the Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strown. All right. Is that true about God? He's not a hard man. He only gives you what he knows you can do. Right? Now, don't get me wrong when I say that, because a lot of people said, well, God will never put on you more than what he expects out of you. That's not true. God always puts more on you because he wants you to stretch, right? He wants you to grow in strength and spirit, but he knows what you can do. And so one, he gives 5 talents, the other, he gives 2 talents, and another, he gives 1 talent. And then that 1 talent, he misrepresents God. He says, I know that you're meany. You're just so mean that you're going to reap where you haven't sown, and you're going to get stuff you haven't worked for. Let me tell you, the cross was work. Amen. Giving the Holy Spirit was work. And he that received one, all right, verse 25, and I was afraid. Oh, do you know that nobody who's afraid will enter into the kingdom of heaven? That's in Revelation, right? When he goes through it, those who are fearful and whoremongers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Shall what? Not. Who here is afraid? I'd love to share my faith, but I'm afraid. Oh, wait a second. I'd love to invest what you gave me, but I'm afraid. I'd love to love people, but I'm afraid. Maybe they won't love me back. I'm afraid. I can't do what you told me to because I'm scared. Well, if you're scared, you ain't going. And because what happens? You hid the talent in the earth. And lo, thou hast what is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Oh, hey, wicked and slothful church. Wicked and slothful church. How many people that are born of Jesus Christ are slothful? Lord, I'd love to come and worship. I'd love to come and study. I'd love to come and pray. But, you know, the basketball tournament's on. The grade 18 or 1236 wonderful guys or whatever. Well, the hockey has the same thing, don't they?
Hockey's all right.
Oh, hockey's all right. Yeah, leave hockey out. Hockey's not the same way. They're from Canada, eh? And so,
you can say things about basketball.
Are you trying to say Sweet 16?
That's it, yeah. Sweet 16. I thought that was a song back from the 60s.
Yeah,
anyhow. But, yeah, I'm sorry. Wicked and slothful servant, thank you. thou knowest that I reap where I sow not, and I gather where I had not strown. Thou ought to therefore put my money, in the exchangers or in the bank. Then at my coming, thou should have received what was mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent which was him, and give it to him that has 10. For every one that hath, it shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into utter darkness. there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I haven't even got to the good part yet. There really is a good part, but it's 12:30. Right? Do you get the gist? Do you see that, folks, we ain't got no time to play. It is time we get serious. Because the day's coming. I don't know the hour, I do not know the day, but I know it's coming because the Bible tells me it's coming. He said, when I see these things happening, chapter 24, verses 1 through 28. If you look at those, you can see the time coming. Can you see the time coming? I see it. I see it's coming. My job as a pastor to you is to encourage you to get busy. Go to work. Go to work doing the work of God. Go to work because He's going to judge you on what He gave you. He's not going to judge you on... He gave me the right to stand here and tell you. That's my job. I'm going to do that. Lance has a different calling on his life. Joshua has a different calling on his life. You got a teacher calling on your life. You've got something. No. There is something. There is something, right? There is something that God has entrusted to you with your ability. This man right here in a wheelchair. He knows his calling. You know what he does? This man prays with power.
Amen.
Amen? He prays with power. I can tell when this when what is your name? Justin. When Justin prays, I know it. There's just when he calls my name before the Lord, I know it. I don't know how that is. It's because the Holy Spirit worked. Holy Spirit. Till I'm from Israel. It's Holy Spirit, y'all. And I know it. I know when he prays for me, right? Because that's his call. He's a prayer warrior.
Yes, he is.
You know? He may not be able to do what the rest of the world can do, but he takes the talent that God has given him and he plows with it. Amen. He ain't hiding it behind a rock. He's using it with power and might. And things change. The doorposts of heaven are shaken when a prayer warrior goes to it. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen? I don't know what your talent is. I don't know what God gave you to do. But I'm telling you, do it before the door is shut. Don't wait for me to get on your side. You don't need me. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Word of God. You need an obedience to the Word of God. You need to sacrifice your life for His calling. If you don't, the door may shut on you. And when it shuts, you may not have oil left in your lamp. Because you didn't... Thank you, Lord, for this. The Dead Sea. Water goes into it. It doesn't go out. What does it become? Stagnant. Dead Sea. Hence the name. It comes from the living waters of the Jordan. It gets stacked up there. All of the nutrients, all of the minerals, they all get stacked up there. And then they just stagnate. And it's so thick you can't even sink in it. That's what I've heard. Never been there. But what about you? What are you going to do with that living water that's in you? Go ahead, brother.
All right. So it looks like God detests, you know, the people that hoard this gift.
Yeah.
Because the one that received the least amount of talents is the one that hoarded it.
Right.
Right.
So what you doing with it, Lance? I know you got a call on your life. Are you waiting for me to come along beside you to get you to do it? Dude, you don't need me. You need the Holy Spirit, and you need obedience to the call that you have. Right? I don't go with Kevin to pass out tracts. Kevin goes to pass out tracts when God lays it on his heart, even if it isn't good weather, which I don't disagree with that, because in nasty weather, nobody wants to go to the lake. Who wants to go out there when there's 4 foot of snow? Handing out tracts to yourself.
There's somebody's out there, and the pouring rain, it's windy out, and they're handing out a track, that says something.
Amen, it does.
It's like, well, this person believes this much.
And again, Lance, what you're saying, what he does isn't going to profit you. You got to do what God has called you to do. Tom, you got to do what God has called you to do. Because when he comes, he's going to ask you, where is what I gave you? Did you, at least, the least you can do is bring it to the bank, to the church, right? And use it here in the body of Christ. Well, I can't use it in the body of Christ because nobody likes me. Well, that's okay. You're right. We don't. But God does. You're not looking for my affirmation. If you are, you're looking to the wrong person. God will affirm you. Come, be a part. And whatever God has given you, don't let any man stop you from doing it. God called you to go out here and pray for the unborn on a Wednesday night. You go do that. Don't worry about coming to this building right here. God will take care of this. You don't worry about that. If God called you to do that, you go do that. Because you're going to answer to God. You're not going to answer to me. Will I be really disappointed on Wednesday night and it's just me and my wife here? Sure. But that doesn't matter. I was called to stand here and to preach the Word of God. If God calls you to go stand in the street and pray for the unborn, you do that. Yeah, my brother.
Does the call or the conviction come first?
Conviction. Well, the calling is the conviction.
Right.
Isn't it? Well, God called you before the foundation of the world. Go ahead, my brother. See, you got that look on your face.
Causal sound. Thinking about what I would answer.
Yeah. Amen. The call or the conviction.
Yes.
All right? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah, I think the answer to that is yes. Because when God calls you, that is the conviction.
Right.
The call.
It's the call.
You can look at Jonah.
Yeah.
He called him first.
Amen.
And then
but he was convicted to go, but he refused.
Yeah.
And then he became fish food. And then he became fish barf.
And then he barfed
up on shore.
Here you go. You know, so, yeah, boy, I'm sorry. Because my mind is going one way and the Spirit's going another. And that happens when I need to hush. Amen? Doesn't it? Y'all know my concerns? Pray for me that I will continue to do what I need to do. I'll pray for you that you do whatever God has told you to do. Amen? And I was going to make an excuse for you. You don't need that. Amen? You don't need that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, who wants to close in prayer? It doesn't have to be the Curtis Show. She said no.
I will.
Will you?
Yeah. Father, I thank you for this teaching. That there is a prize. There is a kingdom coming. There is a Savior. That as we, these two, between the teaching and the preaching this morning, are clearly connected.
Mm-hmm.
That Jesus is coming. And he came the first time to pay the price. He's coming again as King. Father God, that we would be found worthy to enter into this kingdom. And I thank you for this teaching that most of the church has been told we don't go through tribulation. But you have told us in your word that through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom. And as I see here in Matthew 24:21, it says, for then shall be great tribulation.
Yes.
Such was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. So, Father God, we've been told a lie by pastors teaching doctrine, saying that we are not going to see this time. But the teaching clearly here is that we are going to. And we can understand these things, but if we don't prepare our soul spiritually to be right with you, to do with that one talent that you gave us, I would not bound to be reckoned with the dead. And I thank you, Father God, that it is you that guides us and leads us, and you have given us this word to just continue in the faith. I thank you, Father God, for this group, for this church here, that you have brought into this place from all parts of the state, because we see that we have been lied to, and we just want to hear the truth. And I thank you, you are gathering a congregation here that is preparing for what's coming. And Lord, use us to prepare not only our own brothers and sisters in Christ, but a lost world for eternal doom.
And I thank you, Father God, for Jesus Christ, who always has his hand outstretched of his grace and of his mercy. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks. Go take it. Go take the world.